Uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. It is Thursday, November 17th, now into Friday, November the 18th, 2011. Glad you could join us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And we got a big stack of news we're going to get into for you here tonight on the show, as well as our continued reading. We're almost done with it. I think we have a few more chapters to go, but we're going to continue reading tonight from the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Trying to see what segment we're on. No, supplementary. So supplementary is tonight. So when that's Tablet 14, so we'll be getting into that for you here this evening on the show as well. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. My email address, if you'd like to send in emails during the show or anytime, and you'd like me to have read those on air or have a question or something else or a topic, send those over to globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And I'll do my best to get into those questions for you on the show. As you may or may not know, those of you I don't know, people tune in at weird times all the time. So sometimes people don't tune in for a while, and then they're like, "Oh, hey, what the hell? How come we had no shows in the past couple of weeks?" I'm like, "Oh, you didn't hear where I said I was going to be taking a few weeks off, not doing as many shows, trying to get the movie done finally, which I should have done fucking 6 months ago, a year ago." I was never going to get this thing done. Trying to commit a good portion of my day to trying to pull together stuff for a show. Cause when I'm not working on a film, generally, you know, that's the thing, you know. But, as there become more and more topics that we need to discuss and bring out to larger audiences, cause not everybody listens to this type of radio. Not everybody even likes talk radio. A lot of people don't like it. So, you know, there has to be other mediums to try to get the message out, try to get the information out other than just the radio show. And for me, films are a great way to do that because it's very immediate. It's audio visual, and you can relate information to people in a way that, you know, by now everybody is used to having it presented to them. And that's what a lot of this is, but I do have, I've officially got an hour and 47 minutes of the film done now. Yeah, in the can, done business. Hour and 47 minutes, music and everything. and that's, believe me, that may not, those of you who don't make films and don't do this, 47 minutes may not sound like a lot since we put out the hour preview a week or so ago. But believe me, that's a lot of work in a short amount of time. But luckily, we didn't have any techs. I lost a week because of tech issues with this buggy-ass software. It's been running good for me now. But, you know, I had to go spend hours dealing with Apple support just to figure out how to make the thing not run buggy. And now that it's not running buggy, I'm actually getting some goddamn work done, which is great. But, you know, actually tonight I was sitting back looking at the fruits of my labor. Cause when you're working on a film, you tend to look at it from a very, you know, sort of clinical standpoint. You know what I mean? Cause you're doing it's like surgery crossed with, you know, a jigsaw puzzle. So you're kind of, you know, you're looking at it from a very clinical standpoint. So, you know, when I get to actually take a step back and watch what I've done, watch what I worked on, it's awesome because, you know, I'm like, wow, this is how it's all come together. But when I'm just seeing little details and stuff and I'm putting stuff together, you don't really see how everything works as a whole. But man, oh man. And I'm trying my best to get everything in here, everything I think it's important to be in here. I mean, there's so much. Folks, I'm never going to be able to tell you the whole story. It is vital and essential that you look into all this stuff that I'm going to be presenting in the Secret Volume 2 for yourself. I mean, it's a blockbuster research film because, I mean, it's unbelievable. I've talked about this a million times on the show, but it's always a paradigm busting thing for me making films because I always learn more in the process of making it. It's just unbelievable. But I have no doubt I'm going to be presenting the big thesis of this film and what I'm going to be presenting the evidence for here 100% throughout the entire film. That's the whole thing, is if you've seen the first hour, once the movie's out, don't just skip the first hour and go to the next bit of information. You're going to be doing yourself an injustice because I promise you, you're not going to remember every detail and every little thing of it that's in hour one, but it's essential that you remember these reference points. So definitely go back and start from the beginning and watch it all the way through, because the thesis I'm presenting here is one that I'm presenting by the fact that it's something that I've discovered that previously I did not know, had a hints of, but not a lot of evidence. And that is that the entire, and I mean, I have, you know, a list of names of people I think are all involved in this as well, but the entire, right-wing conspiracy truth movement, I mean, any of this stuff, almost all of it, it's all heavily, heavily embedded and has so much to do with, psychological warfare operations. That's what it's all based in. All the connections I'm going to show you to the people I'm going to talk about in this film, I'm going to show you their connections to known psychological warfare operations. MK Ultra, Monarch, Operation Mockingbird, all these things. 100% these people are involved in this. Big names in the conspiracy genre involved in this. And, you know, Alex Jones and those type of people can continue to sit up there on their radio shows and spew lies and disinfo and half-truths when it comes to the things that people like myself are bringing up. Now, there are those clowns out there that's, you know, just make up ridiculous horse shit about Jones and others, and then that's what they focus on. Then they try to lump people like myself and others into that same category. Well, that's not going to work anymore. It's not going to fly anymore. You're going to have to come up with some new material, Jonesy. Because I don't know how you can get around this evidence. I mean, it's unbelievable. The whole thing is connected to the highest levels of psychological warfare operations. And that's what it all, and when you look at it for now, you know, people use that term. What's interesting too is these people are masters at talk. They go on, I mean, these fuckers go on TV shows and go on radio shows and everything else and actually talk about the stuff that they're doing as if it's somebody else that we can't find or can't identify that's doing. And I see this everywhere. It's in TV shows, talk shows with people on them for years. I mean, like that clip in the first Secret Right with Buchanan and Tom Braden and the guy that was Larry McDonald, the guy that was the head of the Jumper Society at the time. That's a 100% example of that. I got a clip in here of Michael Aquino, Ted Gunderson, and a Jesuit priest. Talk about three peas in a fucking pod, right? All on Geraldo together, talking about Satanism, and you can tell all three are fucking lying, and all three are the ones that are the source of the fucking Satanism. The FBI, the Temple of Set, and the Jesuit Order. I mean, my God, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. But, you know, people throw that term around, PSYOP, PSYOP this, PSYOP that. And I know that comes from Alex Jones, but that's part of the PSYOP. They throw these terms around, COINTELPRO this, COINTELPRO that, PSYOP this, false flag that. They throw all these terms around, and after a while they lose their meaning because people just use them out of context and don't use them in the right context. And eventually you just, and I've seen it for years. I used to see it in the 9/11 groups that we would be in and we'd go to all over the place. And you can just hear what somebody says. It's like a Jonesism. But folks, from my research, Alex Jones is deeply, deeply ensconced. Deeply ensconced in ongoing and long going, talking about multiple decades here, long ongoing psychological warfare operations. My mic is being weird. I need to do something here. Hold on. How's that? Yeah, there we go. I don't know what it is. Sometimes you got to unplug that preamp, plug it back in, and you'll be good to go. Well, there's just no question. All of this truth movement, patriot movement stuff, it's all been a massive psychological operation that has been designed to radicalize Americans, to create an extremists who are basically the scapegoats and seen as the crazies while the powers that be just continue on. Because, hey, you know, you wouldn't want to. To have to admit that what is going on in the world means you have to admit that you agree with people like Alex Jones or Pat Buchanan or, you know, Larry Pratt or any of these other clowns, you see? And there's a lot of people out there. I saw a quote from, I think it was a We Are Change group one time, was asking Michael Moore about Ron Paul. And Michael Moore said, I am genetically unable to vote for anybody with an R next to their name. That's what they've made. There are people out there who you know, they don't give a rat's ass what's true. Last thing in the world they're going to do is support anybody that's a Republican, anybody that's a right winger. Or say that they agree. It's really, you don't think that's an actual real mindset. It's a widespread, all-consuming mindset. And that's what they've been designed to do, is appear to tell the truth while being relegated to the fringe and seen as crazy. So it's just a massive, massive psychological warfare operation. You guys who have seen the hour one of the Secret Right Volume One, I'm still finding so much info. There's a clip in there, Secret Right Volume Two, rather, hour one. There's a guy in there, Alberto Rivera, former Jesuit priest, talking about the Jesuits planning, being the planners. And that's absolutely true. From everything that I've researched, they always are there, in a production stage. It's almost as if the Jesuits are the planners and the Masons are well, the doers. They're the builders, aren't they? So whether it being be that they're building a structure or building a reality, they are the builders, and that's really what it seems like. But anyway, that guy Alberto Rivera, come to find out, he died of colon cancer, and he told his, and allegedly the widespread thing is that his wife and a bunch of other people said that he told them that the Jesuits have a poison that the CIA has used, that the Mossad has used, the MI6 has used, Interpol, but they have a poison which essentially gives you a cancer, and it's random which one you get. It basically it's like an intelligent type of thing. It goes in, basically scans your body, and then gives you a cancer that's uncurable. Based on that, allegedly they have one that does colon cancer and one that does pancreatic cancer. Now, it's interesting how many researchers and just different people that have been a challenge. And there's many of them that have been a challenge to the status quo that have died of pancreatic cancer. It's very interesting. In fact, there was a blogger, reporter for up in Seattle, who I guess, I'm trying to remember exactly when this was. Maybe in the 90s, maybe in earlier this decade, I can't remember, but I mentioned it briefly in the new film. He was basically the first guy that started putting together the stuff about Jeff Gannon and Johnny Gosch being the same person. And that's what happened to him, too. They got him, too. He was the first person to put that out there, became very vocal about it, and then, boom, he dies of pancreatic cancer. These guys aren't in the towers blowing up the buildings, but they have the intellectual know-how and the knowledge to put together any plan that's needed. That's why so many of your high-level generals and stuff like that are, you know, magis it's just unbelievable. And they also created the whole Satanism thing and the whole cult, all the cults, all the Temple of Set stuff, all the Anton LaVey Church of Satan stuff, all that stuff. The Moonies, Jim Jones, all of this stuff was a creation of these psychological warfare programs. I believe Waco was as well. I don't believe David Koresh was just some guy who... Now, I don't believe that for a second. Never have. Don't believe that for a second. I believe David Koresh... I doubt whether or not the guy really even died there. I think that thing was a massive hoax in Waco. That was one of the first things that Jonesy got any sort of notoriety for, because Jonesy started making a big stink about it. That church that they rebuilt down there was done by Jones and a bunch of other people. I just find that very interesting. There's a lot of evidence, in my opinion, points in the direction that Waco and Ruby Ridge as well, another massive psychological operation, I believe that was. Look who they rolled out. I mean, who were the two people that came? And why is it that if all these things aren't psychological operations, take Ruby Ridge, for example. Who were the two people they brought out there to get the family out of the cabin after the standoff? None other than CMP member Jack McClam, Officer Jack McClam, big Alex Jones host, and 33rd degree Freemason Bo Greitz, another CIA intel operative involved in the right wing. I mean, it just happened to be those two. I mean, there's a direct line from Manson and that whole era, you know, Sharon Tate murders and that whole thing, that was massive psyops. Oh, dig this. I'm really not letting very much out of the bag, but I got to say this. The guy, one of the major people involved in psychological warfare operations in the United States for the past 40 years, Paul Villalle, I think is his name. This guy is the senior military analyst at Fox News. He's a birther. And him and Michael Aquino wrote the Mind War documents. It's unbelievable. It's Alex Jones. It's Alex Jones' playbook, man. The Mind War logo on the documents, folks, looks like an InfoWars logo. Not kidding you. He termed Michael Aquino, founder of the Temple of Set, the guy who kidnapped Johnny Gosch. This guy termed the he coined the phrase InfoWars, ladies and gentlemen. Information warfare. Talked openly about using propaganda against the American population so that foreign propaganda couldn't get to us and to make us believe that there's an outside external threat and to have us in constant fear of an external threat that we can arm ourselves against and defeat. I mean, it's the playbook for Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. And when you look at the connections that Alex Jones has, I don't want to give to I'm going to stop right there, actually. I'm just saying, man, you'll see all this in the film. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Man, oh, man, oh, man. All right. We got to have some support in here, folks. We've been taking the past few weeks off and not doing as many shows. Our support here at the network has just been abysmal. It's been horrible. We've gotten hardly anything in this week at all, and we've got the stream bill that's overdue right now. We've got to pay that, otherwise the stream is going to get shut off. So please go to theglobalreality.com, use the chip-in banner there, and help us out right now, will you? And we'll let you know real soon when we're going to have we'll go ahead and get the Sea Ride Volume 2 up for sale. We'll go ahead and have our pre-orders, but it'll just be, we'll have it up and it'll be available to buy. That'll probably be happening in the next week. It's going to be done the next 4 or 5 days, so we're getting real close. Let's see what we have here on the news. I don't think I have any emails tonight. Let me go here and see. Here's one. It says, hello, I've been listening to your show since your Red Ice interview. I enjoyed Secret Right Part 1 and am anxiously anticipating the full release of Part 2. I have been looking for healthcare alternatives to the obviously corrupt mainstream medical zeitgeist. After some time, I came across Joel Wallach, who I found very fascinating ideas and claims regarding mineral and nutrient supplementing. Much to my dismay, the big Alex Jones has been pushing his work for a few years and now has a partnership with him. I'm in the ranks of those who have been mind-fucked by Jones and had to tear myself away from the fear tunnel vision before it ruined my life. Your work has also made me untrusting of anything he gets his grimy fingers on. You should be. Everything that's attached to Alex Jones or any of his constituents is absolutely, positively, 100% beyond any shadow of a doubt now, ladies and gentlemen, connected to psychological warfare operations. His behavior that you know about out there should tell you that what I'm saying is the truth, and hopefully after this film's out, you'll look into it and prove it for yourself. But I'm telling you, and look, the other night I tuned in to Lee Rogers' show. I hadn't listened to Rogers in 6 or 7 months. I just happened to tune in for 5 minutes, and lo and behold, he starts talking about the Secret Volume 2, Hour 1 in there. And he said some great things about it. Thanks to Lee for letting people know about that and telling them to go check it out. Appreciate him doing that. But he said that one thing he said about it was that he couldn't endorse all the stuff in the film in the first hour because he wasn't aware of some of it. He hadn't researched it yet. I'm hoping there's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of that, you know. I've really, really done a good job with this film of not telling you guys everything that's going to be in it on air. I did that with Volume 1. I didn't do that again this time. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff in here that a lot of people don't know about. And that's the whole point. Why would I want to make a film and put a bunch of shit in there everybody ever knows? You know? If Lee Rogers watches it and has, can't endorse all of it yet because he hasn't researched it and doesn't know about it yet, then I've done my job. Right? I mean, that's... Otherwise, what's the point? If I'm just putting a bunch of shit in there you already know about, then... Yeah. But also, I mean, even though there is a lot of stuff in here a lot of people may already know about, I'm not saying I'm fucking great breaking any new ground here. Certainly with a lot of stuff I'm talking about in this film, the Franklin stuff, Johnny Gosch, obviously a lot of stuff's been talked about, but it's the way I'm presenting it, the narrative that I'm creating and showing you here is that all of this stuff, it's all about psychological operations. From one end to the other, it's all about psyop, psy warfare. These guys are playing hardball, and we found that the truth movement is now an even more scarier version of the psychological operations that are conducted in mainstream media. Because at least with mainstream media, you're aware of it, you know, or at least you should be. But at this point, most people are. But then we have this underground media and this independent alternative grassroots media that's posing as, you know, because it looks a lot lower budget. And, you know, these guys put up there. I mean, very few of these guys are like me actually doing this, you know, out of a bedroom and doing this real. I mean, you know, look at the way I do shit, man. I do it real grassroots, like down by the dumpster grassroots. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But you know, Jonesy's broadcasting from the most expensive real estate in Austin, Texas, which ain't cheap, by the way. Big high rise building downtown. Give me a break. Really? Yeah. That's where the real grassroots stuff happens, isn't it, buddy? Yeah. The real grassroots stuff happens in skyscrapers downtown in big cities. Yep. That's where the real anti-government conspiracy stuff happens. Yeah. We're doing it down here in the enemy territory. Yep. I mean, come on, really? It just blocks away from the fucking Texas Capitol down there where Perry's at? I mean, come on, man. We're not really buying this anymore, but yeah, run far away from anything Jones or any of his constituents try to push on you. You have to look at every single thing that this guy does from here on out that I do. My perspective changed yet again. Because now I see, now that I know this is all psychological operations, I see the psyop in every single thing now. I see there, I go, oh my God, that's part of it. I mean, we're existing in, they've created a whole other realm for us to exist in, and we're all of us that who have been involved in this conspiracy genre up to this point have all been simultaneously existing in this new phony mindset psyop they've created for us. So here we are again, standing with Morpheus yet again, getting ready to unplug ourselves yet again, hopefully for the last time here, but who knows? I mean, we've got, man, you understand how dangerous this is? I mean, the enemy is in our midst. They're not out there somewhere in the big office towers, in the, you know, Bilderberg group meetings, or you know, behind the halls of Congress or Washington, D.C., they are right here in your midst. You have probably, you know, had some associations with some of these people. I just had no idea, folks, even when I first found out about the Council for National Policy, I had no idea that it was this deep. And now I understand why these guys and why these people get so nervous when you bring it up. The group, really, honestly, I don't want to say it because it's a double-edged sword. I don't want to say it's not important. It's very important. But now I understand the group is a less important thing. But if you target the CMP, if you target the group, if you identify them, what ultimately ends up happening is if you keep digging, eventually you're going to get to where I am now. And you're going to see this for what it is. You're going to find out this is one gigantic psychological operation. And that's what they're afraid of. Notice how when Jones, anybody ever says anything about Jesuits or any of this stuff to Jones, he always says Catholic. He'll never say the word Jesuit. He always just says, oh, it's Catholic haters, folks. That's just Catholic haters. I hate Catholics. Suck, Satan's cock. It has nothing to do. The Catholics are the front men. They're like the Jews. They're you know. They're like the Freemasons. The Freemasons, the Jews, the Catholics, all, you know, Protestants, it doesn't matter. These are the ones that are put out there, red herrings. They need to put out there like they're their conspirators, but meanwhile, they've got, you know, the people they're taking their orders from are behind the scenes. Let's get back to this guy's email here. I'm also curious to your personal opinion of Joel Wallach. I don't know anything about the guy, but I mean, you just explained everything that would make up my opinion there, John. You said Jones has been pushing his work and he's now in a partnership with him? Well, I think you know my opinion. case closed. We can close the books on that one. Yeah, I would say no. I would walk away fast. He's probably he's a part of this much larger, gigantic psychological warfare operation that Jonesy, I mean, my God, you should have known when Jonesy was getting his, whatever that silver solution stuff he was pimping a while back. Remember that? And all that stuff, it came out that all that shit was coming from Homeland, Department of Homeland Security. I mean, my God, give me a break. A lot of Jones sponsors are CIA front companies anyway. A lot of them are not even real companies. You call and try to get somebody on the line or something. I mean, a lot of these are fake companies he's using, folks. I'm telling you, the whole thing's a facade. The money bombs, the all the flashy stuff. He only has those money bombs so he can make it appear that he's accounting for cash that's coming in from, you know, the psychological warfare operations, which is money that's coming from the drug trade, just as it was coming from the drug trade in the 80s. I mean, my God, Pat Buchanan, who Jones worked on, was a little minion for on his campaign. He was a fucking campaign staffer for Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan, along with Tom Brady, who was on CNN, those guys were the heads of Operation Mockingbird. You understand that, right? I mean, Jonesy's connected to PsyOps and Mockingbird and everything 18 Ways to Sunday, man. It's a fact. That's not my opinion. But I mean, that's one, you know, that's something I want to stress, as I was mentioning Lee Rogers' comment there earlier about, you know, some of the stuff he just hadn't known about. He hadn't researched it yet. He hadn't heard of it, you know. I can promise you that every single shred of everything that's in this film is 100% verifiable and 100% provable. It's not my opinion. It's not speculation. I've gone over this film with a fine-tooth comb and the information for the past almost 2 years now, long before I was ever doing anything on the screen like I'm doing right now. Now I'm taking all this, you know, couple of years of research and making it palpable on the screen. But, you know, I'm still finding more shit. I'm also curious as to what you think of naturopathic doctors, nutrient supplements, basically the whole spectrum of counterculture. I think all those things can have good effects for you. Obviously, if the FDA is telling you that they're not, and obviously if the FDA is trying to do things like Codex Alimentarius, and they're trying to make supplements illegal, and they're trying to call walnuts a drug and all this ridiculous horse shit, it would be pretty obvious to me that these things obviously have a health benefit for you. We know that they do, but they're trying to create a monopoly, a medical industrial complex monopoly of largely which is already there and mostly in place. But if we don't give into it, we don't acquiesce to it, we can fight it. And the way that you fight it is by not being on their fucking prescription drugs, not being on their chemicals. But that's what they want to do. They want to outlaw everything natural and make the only thing legal that you can take in, food, drugs, or otherwise, be one of their chemicals that came out of their companies. That's what they want. That's what they foresee for the future. That's why they've created GMO foods and made it where, you know, it's actually wiping out natural plants and natural food supplies. This has been a systematic business move, ladies and gentlemen. This is numbers on a chalkboard for these people. You think they really give a rat's ass and lose any sleep at night wiping out everything natural from this planet and substituting it with something that's artificial? Hell fucking no. They'll sleep like babies tonight and still do that. Could Joel Wallach be a well-meaning naturopathic physician genuinely wanting to help people? No, look, you only listen to this, man. The only reason you want to go on the Jones Show and pimp your shit is because You're going to have the reach. Another thing they talk about in Mind War is using in the Jonesy type propaganda. They describe perfectly, and they talk about using low wave frequencies within the broadcast, so that the fear response is deeper in people. And I'll tell you, folks, I've had a lot of people through the years tell me that they believe that there are frequencies, low frequencies, embedded in the Alex Jones broadcast that basically makes you lose your shit and go hog wild crazy when you hear it. And I wouldn't doubt that for a second. Would not doubt that for a second. But listen, people like Chris Everard and stuff have come forward. Chris Everard said that Jones wanted $5,000 for him to come on and promote his movie. It's a pay-for-play scheme, dude. He's allowed to be big dog, and it's a racket, man. That's what it is. So, you know, this well-meaning neuropathic physician, no. The guy's there because he's there to sell a product, and he's there to get a product to a counterculture. That's it. So thank you, John. I hope I got my help you out with your question there. Mitchell says, heard there was an earthquake down Palaka way. I don't know where that, what's Palaka? P-K-A-L-A-H-A, Palaka, is that Wisconsin? Anything near Dallas? No, hadn't heard anything. All quiet on the Western Front here. I could change in a heartbeat. Let's see what else we have here on the news stack tonight. Did I have any more emails? See any more emails. All right, let's see what we have here in the news stack tonight. My sister Jamie showed me this one earlier. Pretty interesting stuff. Freaky non-human mummy found in Peru. Today, Renato Davila Raquelme, a anthropologist that works for the Privado Ritos Andinos Museum in Cusco, announced the findings of the strange and freaky mummy you see before you. It looks like an elongated alien skull head. Well, yeah, it's weird. They found all kinds of shit like that down there in Peru, though. I mean, was it going to surprise us if they find another fucking alien corpse down there? Supposedly, I mean, there was just alien corpses everywhere down there. That was one of the Anunnaki's main areas. They talked about it in the Lost Book of Enki. The remains, which are 20 inches tall, were thought to be those of a child until Spanish and Russian doctors said otherwise. It has a non-human appearance because the head is triangular and big, almost the same size as the body. And at first, we believed it to be a child's body until Spanish and Russian doctors came and confirmed that, yes, it is an extraterrestrial being. Seriously, calling anything an extraterrestrial without any legit proof by a well-known scientist or institution is like asking to be instantly disregarded, I know, but check out the rest of the pictures. If these bones are real and did indeed belong to something living, it was still a pretty damn strange creature thing person. Yeah, I'd agree with that. 100%. Yeah, regardless. But yeah, I mean, if that was the only one they'd ever found in Peru, I would say, yeah, maybe not. But come on. They found all kinds of elongated alien head people down there and remains of them. So yeah. Doesn't surprise me in the least bit. All right, what else do we have here tonight? Seems like I have some stories. Yeah, I've got some stories backed up that I didn't cover on Monday's show. This one came out last week, I think. Yeah, November 8th. But man, I got to cover this. This is just unbelievable to me, and I'm unbelievable admission now. Curse of Tutankhamun may have been work of Satanist killer. Incredible parallels between Aleister Crowley and Jack the Ripper have been discovered during research by historian Mark Bainan. Throughout the 1920s and 1930s, London was gripped by the mythical curse of Tutankhamun, the Egyptian boy king whose tomb was uncovered by British archaeologist Howard Carter. More than 20 people linked to the opening of the pharaoh's burial chamber in Luxor in 1923 bizarrely died over the following years, six of them in the capital. Victims included Carter's personal secretary, Captain Richard Bethel, who was found dead in his bed from suspected smothering at an exclusive Mayfair club. Bethel's father, Lord Westbury, then plunged seven floors to his death from his St. James apartment, where he reportedly kept tomb artifacts gifted by his son. And Aubrey Herbert, half-brother of Carter's financial backer, Lord Carnarvon, also died suspiciously in a Park Lane hospital shortly after visiting Luxor. At the time, a frenzied press blamed the curse of Tutankhamun for the deaths and speculated on the supernatural powers of the ancient Egyptians, but Mr. Bainan has now drawn on previously unpublished evidence to conclude that the deaths were all ritualistic killings masterminded by Crowley, an occultist dubbed the wickedest man in the world. After unique analysis of Crowley's diaries, essays, and books at the inquest of reports, the armchair detective argues that he was a Jack the Ripper-obsessed copycat killer. Crowley, who called himself the Great Beast, apparently had his own motives to tarnish the legacy of Carner's legendary discovery. Well, from what I understand, this happened during the time when Crowley went to Egypt as well, right? That's when they did all this. They uncovered all this, from what I understand. And if you see, there's those pictures of Crowley when he's in Egypt. He looks all, you know, looks normal and, you know. Well, apparently what happened during this is that that was when they opened up something. And they were communicating with something. And this is when Crowley was basically communicating with this entity, demon, alien, whatever it was, Iwas. And it appears that after that, not only was he channeling this entity, that this entity or a part of this entity or something else actually entered him and either became a part of him or was using him as a symbiotic creature or possession or something of that nature. But Crowley's bizarre behavior seems to stem immediately following that trip to Egypt and immediately following that contact with this green weird being named Iwas, who he, you know, of course, channeled the Book of the Law from. If you're ever in around Austin, Texas, down there, land of the enchilada. I won't even go near that place. I can fucking smell. I hate Austin. God, I hate that fucking town. Fuck Austin. That place, I tell you what, Dallas ain't no fucking peach pit, but fucking Austin. God damn, fuck that place. You know what? That's exactly where Alex Jones belongs. That place is a fucking pit of hell, man. No wonder the place is a pit of hell. He lives there. God damn, that place sucks. But, you know, they've got all this. I mean, the town is just full of occultic stuff, man. It's all over the place. I know a lot of you have seen Freeman stuff that he's done on that. But, you know, also they've got, for whatever reason, down there at the UT Library, University of Texas Library, you know, their logo, they got big Baphomets down there everywhere and all kinds of, I mean, you got the Owl Building and it's just unbelievable. But they also, for some reason, on the college campus, they have this, by the library, this big library, these huge eyes outside of their Aleister Crowley eyes. And they actually have the original Book of the Law in there. But they won't, even if you're a student there, they won't let you see it. It's unbelievable. You know, even if you're paying tuition at this college, why the fuck do they have a book in Austin right there near all this occult stuff that nobody is allowed to even see? Even if you're a student at the college. I don't understand that. It's there for some reason. Somebody's got it there because they want it there. Somebody's got it there because they want it there close. Somebody in Austin, in that area, has permission to see it. Yeah, it's insane. But yeah, I don't doubt this for a second. So they're saying now that Crowley was actually responsible for these deaths, the Tutankhamun deaths, that they said it was a curse and it was actually Crowley doing. Yeah, well, no surprise here. I did not know that, though. That's pretty interesting stuff. browser's being geeky on me tonight. Meet Canada's new high-tech plastic currency. You guys heard about this? We got a lot of Canadian listeners. Some of you may have already heard about this. Apparently Canada said, well, we're going to get rid of cash. People are not quite ready to go over to the, you know, cashless system, mark of the beast, control grid. So let's have a nice happy medium. They now are issuing plastic currency. And it basically has all these high-tech windows and things. So it's like poker chips now, essentially. I mean, that's basically what it is, right? Plastic money. I mean, we're using plastic money now, folks. I mean, and that's what this whole big thing is. It's a casino, right? That's what the whole world financial system is, right? It's basically casino logic, isn't it? Am I wrong in that? I mean, the people with all the money own the house, right? They run the house. This, you know, the 1%, the small 1%, or the 99%. The 1% with all the wealth, the 99% people go in, you know, spend their little earnings and the house takes everything and then they run it. It's, you know, over and over and over again. That's basically what it is. Our economy is a big casino. And we keep rolling the dice and putting our money in the slot machine, putting our money on the table, thinking, oh, yeah, just one more round, baby. One more round. This will be the big win. I'm going to win here. One more, and then that's it. And you roll the dice and you lose again. And, you know, you wonder why this game's still allowed to go on. I mean, they're just being right up front with us now. Yeah, we're not going to get you to go cashless, but we're just going to get you to use money that's basically like a debit card. Plastic. Despite many of us relying on plastic credit and debit cards that make the majority of our daily purchases, the idea of saying goodbye to paper money seems ridiculous. That's just what the Bank of Canada is planning to do, and the first in an all-new line of plastic money will begin rolling out to consumers this month. The bill's made of a single piece of polymer, boasts a longer life than paper notes, as well as some advanced security features to keep counterfeiters scratching their heads. So yeah, well, that's the in-between. You knew they had to have something on the in-between, but you know, we weren't just going to go straight from cash to a cashless society with nothing in between that. People would freak out, you know. But I suspect that whenever they get done raping and pillaging the current Ponzi scheme, and they get ready to blow that motherfucker out like it's Enron or something, and they get ready to reinitiate their new IMF and World Bank-led Ponzi scheme that'll basically run all monetary systems of the world. I'm pretty sure we'll start seeing a plastic world currency sometime, probably soon. Probably soon. Oh, what else do we have here tonight? LA detectives reopening Natalie Wood death inquiry. Oh, that's going to be interesting. I bet fucking Christopher Walken shaking his boots right now. Supposedly fucking Walken was banging her and she was married to Robert Wagner and they were drunk and I don't know. They killed the bitch. Either way, they're going to look back into it. I always knew that motherfucker did it. I still think he did it. You can just tell by looking at Christopher Walken. That motherfucker is pure evil. It's not an act. He looks like Christopher Walken strikes me as the type of guy that would be in one of these psyop, mind control, Michael Aquino things. In fact, what movie was that? View to a Kill, the James Bond flick, where he played that crazy Joseph Mengele test tube baby. Looks like fucking, what's his name? Julian Assange. He does, man. I swear to God, if you watch this movie, he looks just like Julian Assange. And the plot is he steals these nuclear weapons and he's going to plant them in the San Andreas Fault to blow California out into the ocean so that Silicon Valley goes into the ocean and his competing microchips win. I don't trust Walken as far as I can throw him, man. That guy's definitely, he's definitely involved in something high level. The Army on Thursday conducted its first flight test of a new weapon capable of traveling 5 times the speed of sound. The Army launched the advanced hypersonic weapon from the military's Pacific Missile Range facility on Kauai about 1:30 a.m. The weapon's glide vehicle reached the Kalawan Atoll some 2,300 miles away in less than half an hour. Earlier this year, the Congressional Research Service said in a report to the advanced hypersonic weapon is a part of the military's program to develop prompt global strike. Weapons that would allow the U.S. to strike targets anywhere in the world with conventional weapons in as little as 1 hour. Again, you know, why do we even need to be creating? If we're heading into, you know, if things are so good and we just have, you know, a few minor things to get over until we're going to have world peace, as our leaders like to tell us all the time, why are we developing more of this stuff? Obviously, there's going to be more war. Obviously, there's going to be more bloodshed. And, you know, camping out down in front of buildings is not going to change that. We are slaves. We are absolutely fucking slaves. God, people need to wake the fuck up. And then when people do wake up, they think they're awake, and then they're still not awake. That's the biggest problem I see. There's a bunch of people running around out here calling themselves awake and aware and all this stuff. They don't know shit. They're still buying into it, being led by these control systems. That's the biggest thing I hope to accomplish with this film is hopefully we'll be able to negate at least some of that. But we're going to need some massive help money-wise to get this thing out to a larger audience. We're going to need to do promotion out the ass. We're going to need to get some money together, get this thing up on Netflix and iTunes, all that stuff. Because I need to reach some people with this movie. It does not need to be relegated to the YouTube fringe. This movie has to get out to people. Otherwise, this psych warfare and this psychological operation stuff is just going to continue on. And people are just going to continue to buy into it until they achieve their final goal. And if it's not Alex Jones, it's going to be somebody else just like him later on down the line. But until this entire system gets exposed, it's just going to go on. There has been people like Alex Jones long before there was ever one of him. And there will continue to be if we don't expose all of their psychological warfare operations and their controlled opposition plans. Let's see what else we have here tonight. 1 in 4 American women take medication for a mental disorder. Women are fucking crazy. That's why. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is. That women do can fall off into depression worse than anybody though, man. It is wild. It all has to do with hormones and they're just built differently. But that's kind of the point. So yeah, of course women are going to have certain mental things that happen as a result of their physiological makeup. But that doesn't mean we start fucking sticking everybody on drugs and labeling everybody crazy and all the rest of this shit. We just have to learn how to deal with the natural things that happen due to physiological makeup, hormones, any of this stuff. But no, we'd rather call everybody nuts, call everybody crazy and slap them on a fucking SSRI and make more money off of them and milk them till they fucking die and they're in the ground. I really don't see that model changing much. That's why everybody should be concerned about this healthcare stuff that they're trying to put down in the United States. My God. They want to make it by law, they can put you on their fucking chemicals. By law, they can suck all your money out of the bank. Christ. Fuck that. Military Industrial Complex, GE, one of the largest corporations in America, filed a whopping 57,000 paid federal tax return earlier this year, but did not pay taxes on $14 billion in profits. The return, which was filed electronically, would have been 19 feet high if printed out and stacked. So $14 billion in profits for GE and not paid one dime. Boy, that's great stuff. And you wonder who makes the laws in this country, in this world, don't you? You see shit like that. GE don't make laws. These companies don't pay congressmen and senators and presidents and all that and make money off of it. No, they don't pay them to make the laws. You're crazy conspiracy theorists. All right. Keep on believing that. Who owns the moon? Russia, China, and India are all seeking to send astronauts to the moon. An international treaty says no country owns the moon, but some worry that we could be headed for a race for lunar supremacy. It's a video from Yahoo. Yeah, that's an interesting... I've talked about this. Talked about this a few months ago. That kind of seemed that there was this race to conquer and own the moon, and I said that that's because, according to the Sumerian text, I believe that's where the Ark of the Covenant is located. The energy device that opens the gateway. The portal. I think everybody's clamoring to get up there, figure out some way to get up there, and claim supremacy, but that's what the whole original moon hoax was for anyway. I'm sorry to have to tell you guys, they're too late. That's why it was so important for them to fake the mission to the moon if they couldn't get there. They had to fake it so they could make it look like they actually got there. Because the ritual they did was they declared it to be the sovereign property of the Freemasons. That's why there was all the Masonic involvement, all that stuff with the moon hoaxing and all these alleged astronauts were all Freemasons. That's why. They were doing it for the Brotherhood, for the Crusade. Because the ancients knew that's where the Anunnaki had taken the Ark of the Covenant. And since they believe that to be their, you know, their birthright and what they're going to get their hands on, that's why they declared to be the property of the moon, to be the property of the Freemasons. You know, there were a couple of months ago where we had that story of that guy who was said he was a Knight of Malta, just came right out and said, I'm a Knight of Malta. And he was some sort of, you know, crazy, kooky, conspiracy theorist type guy. I can't remember his name. And he said that he predicted that Obama was going to be assassinated on November 15th. You guys remember that? We talked about that here on the show. To which my response was, well, if it does happen, we need to go fucking find this guy and talk to him first. If it doesn't happen, we need to make sure everybody and their mother knows this guy's name and knows that he's a disinfo artist, and what comes out of his mouth needs to not be trusted. You should already know that anyway, on the fact the guy tells you he's a Knight of Malta. Ain't no such thing as Porch Malta, motherfucker, okay? Go ahead and understand that. Boy, it might be a Porch Malta. Derp a derp. Who told you that shit? Alex Jones? Was that in the memo? Was that in your COINTEL memo last week? Porch Maltas. You know who said that shit? Alex Ansari. I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't want to network with any of these clowns. Alex Ansari actually said that on his show one time. I think some of these guys are Porch Maltas. Porch Maltas. That is the goddamn funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Really? You really want to cover up for these guys that bad that you're going to concoct something called Porch Maltas? Can we have some proof for these Porch Maltas, please? Oh, don't say that. They'll probably produce one. Yeah, I'm a Porch Malta. I'm a Knight Malta, and I'm a good guy. Derp, derp. Unbelievable stuff. But this guy, you know, claimed that Obama was going to be assassinated on the 15th, and what do we have? We had a guy taking pop shots at the White House. He's been arrested now. Oh, man, this stuff's got PSYOP written all over it. The Occupy Wall Street movement continues to cause chaos from Baltimore to the West Coast. In downtown Seattle, police use pepper spray to break up a rowdy protest, injuring an 84-year-old woman and a pregnant woman. It's one of the many violent confrontations around the country as protesters take over public parks and busy streets. Minutes into Karl Rove's speech at Johns Hopkins University, movement protesters heckled Karl Rove, and he fired back. If you don't have the courage to stand here and then ask a question, you're just showing your moral cowardice, Rove said. Do not be so arrogant and presumptive to think that you're the only person who has a First Amendment right that needs to be heard, Rove continued. Who gave you the right to occupy America? Nobody. Wow. Who gave you the right to occupy America? No, really? Really? So yet again, I mean, every time Rover goes out in public, he sticks his goddamn foot in his mouth. I don't know why they let this guy fucking talk anymore, because he just lets the cat out of the bag every time he speaks. You know, the citizens are just spectators, and they know they have to sit from the sidelines and watch what we do, and knowing that they can't do anything about it. Who gave you the right to occupy America? Nobody. Who gave you the right to say that people have rights or don't have rights, depending on whether or not you say they do? Rover, you little fag. Oh, you didn't think we know about you and your little butt boys at the Leadership Institute, did you? Yeah, we got that in the film. The Leadership Institute. It's a right-wing homosexual training ground. Not even kidding you. They train people on how to be butt boy right-wing operatives there. Morton Blackwell headed up Jeff Gannon came out of there with Rove. Yeah, who do you think got him those press passes? Just a bunch of fucking sickos, man. Oh, man. I'm tired of the news already. It's a bunch of worthless crap. We're going to take a break, come back, and get into the Emerald Tablets. of Toth for you here tonight on the show. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. Again, please support our work if you can. Oh, by request.
Took away our dog tags, they had us grow our hair. They gave us student visas when we were over there. They stanced us out of Hondo, Alesta Salvador. And I guess you'd call us Contras, but no one calls us much no more. There ain't no fun in killing folk, and I don't wanna do no more. My great-great rode a Shiloh, and Grandpa drove a tank. Daddy was air cavalry, flew choppers in Da Nang. I worked mostly clandestine, the branch I should not say. We played with better guns, and I could use the extra pay. Did Reagan give the order? Did cocaine pay the bill? They said we was fighting communists, but it was kinda hard to tell. There ain't no fun in killing folk, and I don't wanna do no more. This was before Blackhawks and RPGs were king. My buddy on the door gun, well, he never felt a thing. When our Huey caught a rocket and both the pilots killed, they pissed us over sideways on some Nicaraguan hill. My back felt like it's broken, my legs I could not feel. But I kept on shooting communists, but it was kinda hard to tell. There ain't no fun in killing folk, I ain't gonna do no more. Well, I never did heal upright from injuries sustained. Officially in Germany, officially while we train. I remember all their faces, I dream about them still. And I guess we was fighting communists, but it was kinda hard to tell. There ain't no fun in killing folk, and I don't wanna do no more. Well, I still speak the cold logistic that a warrior speaks so well. Foxtrot, tango, whiskey, and I'll see you in hell. A soldier, libravado, an unspeakable guilt. That villain, it was communist, but it was kinda hard to tell. There ain't no fun in killing folk, and I don't wanna do no more. Yeah, believe me, I've done plenty, boys, and I ain't gonna do no more. Of course, if they back me in a corner, they'll be dead before they hit the floor.
uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Oh yeah, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight, Moonbats. Glad you could be with us here. If you're listening later on an archive or YouTube video, thank you so much for tuning in as well. My website, be sure to check out my website for all the news that we cover here and all the daily news up there at the website as well, theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. Somebody the other day said, oh, Josh, you just said www. Right? I didn't say the W three times. That's because it's arbitrary for me to even say it at all anyway. Everybody knows there's www dot in front of it. It's really stupid to even say it anymore. So sometimes when I say it, it's abbreviated. I'm just like www dot blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Whatever. Okay. I understand there's three W's. I'm fully aware, as are every other goddamn motherfucker on the face of the planet. There's three W's in there. But it's really just a lazy thing because it's like, it's three W's. Come on. You know that. So if I just say www.theglobalreality.com, I'm just saying it because that's, it's arbitrary. I don't like doing any of those things. It's so funny that the things that people sometimes think that you like to do. you don't like to do all the things you have to do, I don't like to have to. I'd rather just have. I don't want to say I'd rather, but if I was going to be like everybody else, I'd just have commercials and sponsors and advertisements and all this stuff, and I'd never have to get up here and ask for donations or tell you like right now that we need help because I've been taken off for a month to work on this film. And when I'm not up here doing shows, just like when my dad died, when I wasn't doing shows, I was going through that thing. I was about to die. Nothing coming in because people don't give a fuck if your dad dies and you got to take off from the show. It's not their problem. They want you fucking doing shows. And if you're not doing shows, providing them what they want every single day when they want it and providing them with their infotainment, then by God, they're not going to provide you with anything to do your work. That's what my audience has shown me. With other than a few select people who keep us alive every month. And keep us, being able to buy new equipment and stuff like that. It's just a handful of people. So, yeah, I don't like having to get up here and tell you that my website every time. But if I don't do that, then people listen on YouTube or they hear the show somewhere else and they don't know where my website is. I get emails from people all the time who think that my show is YouTube videos. Or they think that I just make YouTube videos of me reading stuff and put it up. That's not what I do. That pisses me off. I'm glad that people have made videos of my stuff, but it kind of bothers me that there are a whole lot of people out there, not just a few, who I get emails from who have no idea I have a website. They have no idea that I have my own YouTube channel. They have no idea that I make films. They just a video somebody made of me reading out of a book, cut it together, put it online, and then people think that that's, hey, are you ever going to finish reading this? It's been like 4 days or 5 days, and there hasn't been a new update for Emerald Tablet. So are you going to finish reading? Because they have it's not their fault, but they have no idea that there's a website and a radio show and all this stuff attached to it. And that's one of the other problems that I'm having with like, I do not want to, there's a part of me that does not want to put this new movie out on YouTube at all. At all. Because I don't want it to be seen as just another YouTube video on, conspiracies or something. This is important, well-researched, well-documented information that is vital. And I'm going to do my goddamnedest everything to get this thing out in the way that is appropriate for it. And if that means that you don't have to restrict how much of it I give away for free, I'll do that. Because, you have to at some point separate what, and define, because if you don't define what you do and don't put a value in what you do, I've talked about that before, nobody's going to do it for you. And if, you know, if I don't at some point consider the things that I do to be more important than, you know, the 5 million other Joe Nobodies who just made a video on Windows, you know, Movie Maker, then nobody else is going to see it as that either. You know, Michael Sarian and Chris Everard and a lot of filmmakers like that, they don't put their movies up on YouTube for free. Hell no. Well, I don't know why everybody, if I don't do that, I get dirty messages from people. I get dirty emails. And the people that send me these emails are people, because I know everybody's emails, especially people that donate. These people that send me these comments have never sent one shred of a penny to help, but they want to dictate to me whether or not I'm going to give my product away for free. I was thinking about doing a digital delivery thing, you know, $5 for a download. But the problem with that is that then people are going to want to upload that to their channels. And if they do that, then I'm going to have to, you know, go after them and tell, you know, and flag them and tell them I don't, you know, take my stuff down. That's kind of a dick thing. I don't want to have to do that, but I will do it if that's what I have to do. Regardless of that, you know, it's just so funny. Oh, you only said W twice. You didn't say it three times. Well, who cares? Are you not intelligent enough? Is that how bad we've gotten? We aren't intelligent enough on our own to know there's three W's and www dot. That if someone who's on a radio show doesn't say it right, then we are. Or wait a minute. Something's not right there. He only said W twice. That throws your whole day off, huh? We're going to get into the Emerald Tablets of Toth here tonight. Again, support our work, folks. Please donate if you can. I've got to pay the bills, and we haven't got Jack Dilley's squad in here in the past couple of weeks, and we need some help, so donate if you can. Listen, ye, O man, to the deep, hidden wisdom. Listen to the world since the time of the dwellers. Lost and forgotten by men of this age. This is the supplementary, by the way. Emerald Tablets of Toth. Know you that this earth is but a portal, guarded by powers unknown to man. Yet the dark lords hide in the entrance that leads to the heaven-born land. Know you that the way to the sphere of Arulu is guarded by barriers opened only to light-born man. Upon earth, I am the holder of the keys to the gates of the sacred land. Command I by the powers beyond me to leave the keys to the world of man. Before I depart, I give you the secrets of how you may rise from the bondage of darkness. Bondage of darkness, from what I understand in this, is the soul being trapped in the material body. That's what the darkness is our soul is shadowed and kept in darkness by the body that entraps it. Know you that the soul must be cleansed of its darkness before you may enter the portals of light. Thus, I established among you the mysteries, so that the secrets may always be found. I, though man may fall into darkness, always the light will shine as a guide. Hidden in darkness, veiled in symbols, always the way to the portal will be found. Man in the future will deny the mysteries, but always the way the seeker will find. Now I command you to maintain my secrets, giving only to those that you have tested, so that the pure may not be corrupted, so that the power of truth may prevail. Listen you now to the unveiling of mystery. Listen to the symbols of mystery that I give. Make of it a religion, for only thus will its essence remain. Regions there are two between this life and the great one, traveled by the sands who depart from this earth. Duat, the home of the powers of illusion. Sekhet Hetspet, the house of the gods, Osiris, the symbol of the guard of the portal, who turns back the souls of unworthy men. Beyond lies the sphere of the human-born powers, Arulu, the land where the great ones have passed. There, when my work among men has been finished, will I join the great ones of my ancient home. He's talking about going through a portal into the other side, to the other realms here. Seven are the mansions of the house of the mighty. Three guards the portal of each house from the darkness. 15 the ways that lead to the Duat. 12 are the houses of the Lord of Illusion, facing four ways, each of them different. 42 are the great powers, judging the dead who seek for the portal. 4 are the sons of Horus. 2 are the guards of east and west of Isis. The mother who pleads for her children, queen of the moon, reflecting the sun. Ba is the essence, living forever. Ka is the shadow that man knows as life. Bo cometh not until Ka is incarnate. These are mysteries to preserve through the ages. Keys are they of life and of death. Hear ye now the mystery of mysteries. Learn of the circle of beginningless and endless, the form of he who is one and in all. Listen and hear it. Go forth and apply it. And thus you will travel the way that I go. Which is through a portal, motherfucker. That's what he made it sound like. You want to ride like I ride, fool? You know what you got to do. Damn, all right. You will travel the way that I go. You want to ride like me? You want to ride through the portal? Hey. Mystery in mystery, yet clear to the light born. The secret of all I now will reveal. I will declare a secret to the initiated. But let the door be wholly shut against the profane. 3 is the mystery. Come from the great one. Hear and light on thee will dawn. In the primeval dwell 3 unities. Other than these, none can exist. These are the equilibrium, the source of creation. One God, one truth, one point of freedom. So God, truth, and freedom are the 3. 3 come forth from the 3 of balance, all life, all good, all power. 3 are the qualities of God in his light home. Infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite love. 3 are the powers given to the masters to transmute evil, assist good, and use discrimination. 3 are the things inevitable for God to perform, manifest power, wisdom, and love. 3 are the powers creating all things. Divine love, possessed of perfect knowledge. Divine wisdom, knowing all possible means. Divine power, possessed by the joint will of divine love and wisdom. 3 are the circles or the states of existence. The circle of light where dwells nothing but God, and only God can traverse it. The circle of chaos where all things by nature arise from death. The circle of awareness where all things spring from life. All things animate are of 3 states of existence. Chaos or death, liberty in humanity, and felicity of heaven. three necessities control all things. Beginning in the great deep, the circle of chaos and plenitude in heaven. Three are the paths of the soul, man, liberty, and light. Three are the hindrances, lack of endeavor to obtain knowledge, non-attachment to God, and attachment to evil. In man, the three are manifest. Three are the kings of power within. Three are the chambers of the mysteries, found yet not found in the body of man. Hear ye now of he who is liberated, freed from the bondage of life into light. Knowing the source of all the worlds shall be open. Aye, even the gates of Arulu shall not be barred. Yet heed, O man, who wouldn't enter heaven? If ye be not worthy, better it be to fall into the fire. Know ye that the celestials pass through pure flame at every revolution of the heavens, and they bathe in the fountains of light. Listen, you, O man, to this mystery. Long in the past, before you were man-born, I dwelled in the ancient Atlantis. There in the temple, I drank of the wisdom, poured as a fountain of light from the dweller. Give the key to ascend to the presence of light in the great world. Stood I before the Holy One, enthroned in the flower of fire. Veiled was he by the lightnings of darkness, else my soul by the glory would have been shattered. Forth from the feet of his throne, like a diamond, rolled forth four rivers of flame from his footstool, rolled through the channels of clouds to the man world. Filled was the hall with spirits of heaven. Wonder of wonders was the starry palace. Above the sky, like a rainbow of fire and sunlight, were formed the spirits. They sang the glories of the Holy One. Then from the midst of the fire came a voice.
Behold the glory of the First Cause.
I beheld that light high above all darkness. Reflected in my own being, I attained, as it were, to the God of all gods, the Spirit Son, the Sovereign of the Sun Spheres. There is one, even the first, who hath no beginning, who hath no end, who hath made all things, who govern all, who is good, who is just, who is illuminated, who sustains. Then from the throne there poured a great radiance, surrounding and lifting my soul by its power. Swiftly I moved through the spaces of heaven. Shown was I the mystery of mysteries. Shown the secret heart of the cosmos. Carried was I to the land of Arulu, and I stood before the lords in their houses. Opened they the doorway so I might glimpse the primeval chaos. Shuddered my soul to the vision of horror, and shrank back my soul from the ocean of darkness. Then I saw the need for the barriers, and saw the need for the lords of Arulu. Only they, with their infinite balance, could stand in the way of the impouring chaos. Only they could guard God's creation. Then did I pass around the circle of light. I saw all the souls who had conquered the darkness, and saw the splendor of light where they dwelled. Longed I to take my place in their circle. But longed I also for the way I had chosen. When I stood in the halls of Amenti and made my choice to do the work that I would do. Passed I from the halls of Arulu down the earth space where my body lay. Arose I from the earth where I rested. Stood I before the dweller. I gave my pledge to renounce my great right until my work on earth was completed. Until the age of darkness be past. Listen, you, O man, to the words that I shall give you. In them shall you find the essence of life. Before I returned to the halls of Amenti, taught shall you be on the secrets of secrets, and how you too may arise to the light. Preserve them and guard them. Hide them in symbols, so the profane will laugh and renounce. In every land form you the mysteries. Make the way hard for the seeker to tread. Thus will the weak and the wavering be rejected. Thus will the secrets be hidden and guarded, held till the time when the wheel shall be turned. Through the dark ages, waiting and watching, my spirit shall remain in the deep hidden land. When one has passed all the trials of the outer, summon you me by the key that you hold. Then will I, the initiator, answer. Come and come from the halls of the gods in Amenti. Then will I receive the initiate and give him the words of power. Hark ye, remember these words of warning. Come not to me and bring not to me one lacking in wisdom, impure in heart, or weak in his purpose, or else I will withdraw you from your power to summon me from the place of my sleeping. Now, I've read this somewhere else before on the show about the pure of heart thing. Supposedly, there are certain people on the planet who have inside of our DNA, we have a code, and that code allows us to go into the temple where the portal is to go to the other side. That's what he's referencing here. The pure of heart, like it knows when you go to this. That's it's kind of like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, when the Nazis open up the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and fucking shit comes out and zaps them. Yeah, that's what that has to do with. Now go forth, you, and summon my brothers, summon your brothers, so that I may impart the wisdom of light to the path when my presence is gone. Come to the chamber beneath my temple and eat not food for 3 days until 3 days are past. There I will give you the essence of wisdom, so that with power you may shine amongst men. There I will give unto thee the secrets, so that you too may rise to the heavens. God-man in truth and in essence you be. Depart now and leave me while I summon those you know of, but yet don't know not. That's pretty interesting. I'm going to go summon the people that that you know, but you don't know them yet. You ever meet somebody like that? You ever meet somebody you become friends with, you know, for a long time, and you realize that you've always known each other, but you just now found each other in this incarnation? That's real, man. That's happened to me a lot. That's happened to me before a few times. It's pretty interesting when it happens. But you notice how he's saying, you know, encode this stuff in symbols and all the rest. I mean, this to me is definitely one of the key tablets of secret teachings, an ancient knowledge and adeptism. It's a shame that two of the tablets are being kept from us. Yeah, that's right. Two of the tablets of this we're not allowed to see because the powers that be and the people who the archaeologists don't believe that mankind is ready for it. Well, I'll be the judge of whether or not I'm ready for it or not. I mean, how about you just not let all the rest of these profane cocksuckers out there see it, and you let a global reality audience see that, and we'll determine for ourselves if we're ready or not. I think we're ready. Oh, man. But that's how these secret society structures started right there. As soon as one person made the decision that, well, wait a minute, people are going to freak out if they know this, or, you know, well, if you don't tell somebody this, then you can keep everybody enslaved from the lack of that knowledge. That about brings us up to date right there, folks. That's what they've done. That's what they continue to do. because the powers that be feel that we are children that are unable to handle some of this deeper information, and because it would threaten their power, they don't allow us to see it. But if we continue to raise awareness of these things, and you know, up until now, up until recently, at least since, you know, the rise of the internet age, you know, very few people have known a lot of these ancient texts even exist. At least now we're in a position to where all this stuff, we can raise awareness of. Nobody's asking you to change the world overnight, but you have to do something every day that, and many hands make light work, you know. And to me, this is one of them. I mean, as soon as you become aware, and I think that's really what the whole credo of my work has become. I didn't expect it to be that way, but my work is really just is becoming bringing stuff to the forefront and bringing stuff out to a larger audience that's already been there, you know. But for whatever reason, and you know, with my work into the secret right and all this stuff, now you know what the reason is. So I'm kind of simultaneously exposing the people that are keeping the information from being exposed on a large level, and simultaneously exposing them and exposing the information that they're keeping from us. That's a lot of fun. And it definitely, certainly is going to keep me going on doing this for a long time to come with the help of the gods, whatever they may be, aliens or spirits or white man in the clouds or whatever have you. I don't know. Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. Thanks so much for everybody for tuning in tonight. We need some support. The stream bill is going to get cut off tomorrow. The stream is going to get cut off tomorrow if we don't pay the bill. We got had nothing in the past couple of weeks. We need some major support right now. The C-Rhyme Volume 2 is almost done. I need another 4 or 5 days working on this tops, and I'll be done with it. So be patient. Please support us if you can. And I'm going to finish working on a fucking kick-ass movie for you guys. And this is my masterwork. It just is. It's just going to be my masterwork. It's unbelievable film. Hour and 47 minutes before, it's just unbelievable. But it's probably going to be close to 3 hours. I got one more segment. I got the end segment and then the end music. That's it. I'm done. So I'm getting close. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time. You guys have a great night. Take care.